Hi, it's Rallo, your vet fan. You're about to listen to an episode of our podcast. Neat! Did you know you can financially support the Guild via both Anchor Support and Patreon? That's right, you can help us do more cool stuff like this episode you're about to listen to. To support us on Anchor, go to anchor.fm/calamitouspodcast/support or go to patreon.com/guildpodcast. Thank you so much for listening and enjoy the episode.
Incoming Guild transmission. Code: Papa, Alpha, Charlie, Hotel, Echo, Echo, Sierra, India. Welcome to the Guild of Calamitous podcast.
Hello.
Hi.
I'm Rylo, I'm your vet fan.
I'm Garden, I'm your baby fan.
And this is Guild of Calamitous Podcast, an unofficial Venture Brothers rewatch podcast.
You're very much hurt.
I injured my arm pretty bad. It's not broken that we know of yet.
That we know of.
But I am in a sling and looking pretty pathetic.
I wouldn't say pathetic. Humbled.
Humbled.
Humbled. Yeah.
It's a humbling experience.
So would you like to tell our audience how you have so grievously injured yourself?
I got an Oculus for my birthday, and I had a VR-related
incident
that led to me falling and landing on my arm.
And we hope you get better very quickly and that it is not actually broken.
Yeah, they said it's sprained, but it's like swollen. So, and there's like fluid around it. So they can't see for sure if there's a break there, but I can't straighten my arm. So that's fun.
This is going to be kind of a nice laid back recording.
Yeah. Yeah. Not my proudest moment.
Hey, you're alive.
I'm alive.
You could have done so much worse.
I could have. I could have hit my head. I was really close to hitting my head on the corner or something.
I'm very glad that you did not.
So, but yeah.
We're alive.
That's the situation I'm dealing with. Humbling.
Yeah, because you're not pathetic, but you have been humbled. You are chagrined.
Yeah. And my Oculus didn't break. That's another bright side, which is great because that was $300.
Hey, but nothing's broken that cannot be fixed.
Yeah, and I can't play it for a while.
Out of your own, and you can't move your arm, so.
I can't move my arm. That's why I can't play it for a while.
What you can do is you can put it on and just, like, sit on a beach somewhere.
Yeah, or, surprisingly, Oculus, they have this app called Big Screen, where you can watch stuff, and one of the channels they have is the Marathon of the Venture Brothers.
Nice.
So I can watch the Venture Brothers in VR.
That's
in a nice virtual living room.
That's really cool, actually.
With other people too.
Like, that's creepy.
Like if I had friends who also had it, like because it's multi-platform. So if anyone on Steam or something, if you have a VR headset, I'll watch Venture Brothers with you.
You got to do something while you're laid up in bed.
While I'm laid up, yeah. Yeah, I'll watch Venture Brothers with any fan who has a VR headset and big screen. Y'all can come to my living room. Y'all think I'm joking. I'm serious.
You need to be entertained while I'm out of the country.
You need to be entertained while you're...
By the time anyone's listening to our dulcet tones, I'm not here.
Yeah, by the time you guys are listening to this, Garden will be in Canada, and you'll be stuck with me for a couple weeks doing some interviews and chatting up with people.
You won't be able to bother me. So you'll need someone to bother.
Yeah. I'll still bother you.
I know.
You still have to edit some stuff.
I know. Well, Paul does have to go to work sometimes, so.
That works out. I have no intro for this episode. I don't even have an outline because my arm.
Because of the arm incident.
The arm incident happened
because
before I finished the outline.
You were disarmed?
I tried to do it with one hand on my phone, and that wasn't happening.
Yeah.
So let's just jump into the nitty-gritty of this one. The episode we're looking at today is Tanks for Nothing. Written by Jackson Publick, directed by Jackson Publick, with an original air date of February 28th, 2016. Its episode number is 68. We're so close. So close.
So close, but you gotta wait.
Our cast of characters and voice casts for today's episode are as follows. James Urbaniak as Dr. Venture and Phantom Limb. Patrick Warburton as Brock Sampson. Michael Centre-Nicholas as Dean Venture, Chris McCulloch as Hank Venture, The Monarch, Sergeant Hatred, Pete White, Watch, and Pirate Captain, Doc Hammer as Dr. Mrs. The Monarch, Henchman 21, Billy Quizboy, Rose, Red Mantle, and Ward. Yes, this is a big get for them. Jeffrey Wright as Think Tank and Dr. Nadaba, Barbara Rosenblatt as Battle Axe, Kate McKinnon as Wariana / Alexis Warrington, and Hal Lublin as Wide Whale, Jägermeister, and Janitor.
Hey, we love the janitor.
So,
We start
our story in the aftermath, immediate aftermath of the previous night. So last episode, Harangutang got killed and everyone got gassed up by God gas and...
many things happened.
It was a shit show.
It was an absolute...
Brock went to go get pegged. Like...
Desperately
to go get pegged.
A man on a mission...
He was on a mission to get pegged, and I don't think he knew that he was on a mission to get pegged.
He was on a mission to do something. He didn't know what it was.
enough to kill a guy and knock on the door with his corpse.
Which is iconic.
So good. So in the aftermath of the previous night, the monarch wakes up to the sound of his wife leaving for work, which we start to see. The crumbling of their relationship. It takes a real hard hit this season.
It's rough, you know?
Well, most of Dr. Miss's complaints are legitimate. He's not arching. He's from her point of view, he's not really doing anything but hanging out in his robe. With 21.
And Manolo.
Never forget Manolo. Manolo and Manolo's boys.
So, that's... She has valid marital complaints.
Yes.
Yeah, and we're not knocking that at all.
She has valid complaints, and he blames her for not letting... You know, he can't arch because he can't arch Dr. Venture. We'll arch someone else.
Just try.
And all the while they're having this argument, 21's in the background eating cereal like a child whose parents are fighting. It's like,
so sad.
And him offering the monarch a hug. Like, you need a hug?
You know that really awkward moment when you're like over at someone's place for a sleepover when you were a kid?
The parents start fighting.
And their parents start fighting and you're just there like munching down on a Pop-Tart.
Yeah.
In your hot pink Hannah Montana shirt. Because that was the era that we grew up in.
Yes. Yes. Like that, that's sort of
and the vibe. You're still kind of bleary-eyed.
Yeah.
And it's just awkward.
But that's okay.
Monarch does.
They have the Morpho cave. They have the Morpho cave. Who needs hug when you have the Morpho cave?
I need hugs.
Smash cut to bum 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 bum. The title. At Tophet Tower, Brock Sampson, who is hungover as all get out, awakes in Warianna's apartment with her poop lasso stuck up his ass as if he is a pony. Like that's kind of what it makes it look like.
Yeah.
It's a riding crop. It's a riding crop, not her truth lasso. It's a riding crop.
Yeah.
Or cat and nine tails.
I have seen weirder shit, quite honestly.
I mean,
haven't we all?
Haven't we all?
It's the internet. If you haven't, you shouldn't be listening to this podcast. You're too pure.
And his sneak out sort of gets turned around on him. He gets pushed out by Warianna.
I have performed my office. You may leave now.
You may leave now. Why don't you make that coffee to go? All right. She's busy with her alter ego.
It's iconic. I mean, you know, it's really kind of probably a beautiful thing because he has probably never experienced this.
No.
Either he is like, here, you know, hey, girl, out, or they leave in the middle of the night.
Yeah. And he, normally he leaves, I believe. I think that's what it seems like.
Yeah, but
because that's what he's trying to do.
Yeah, he is trying to. Either or, but he's never like, he doesn't seem like the type of person who interacts with people in the morning after.
No.
You shut up, you grab your clothes, you leave.
Yeah.
You do not make polite conversation.
And he certainly has never been this sort of hung over. Like his half, the way when he gets to Ventec Tower, the half-hearted throw at the guild strangers who are there collecting a orangutan's corpse. We have never seen the aftermath of what happens after quote unquote death by Samson or any death of a guild member happens. We've seen the deaths.
We have also seen the potter's field of henchmen.
But we haven't seen guild protocol for when that happens. So this is new. They're retrieving the body. They're doing an investigation into how it happened.
I mean, valid.
I will note this. Doc never fucking stops trying to get into Dr. Mrs. the Monarch's pants.
To be fair, they're cute pants.
She's not wearing pants, she's wearing a dress.
Either or.
A dress that looks kind of like a Nazi dress.
I'm pretty sure that was
I think that's on purpose.
However, I will say that while Hugo Boss was in fact a horse face fascist, the man had an eye for lines. You can't, you know, deny that.
No, and I mean, that costume is. Also, we get some Watch and Ward action. I love their sort of subplot of trying to sell the guild to Dr. Venture. As like, we're changed, you know. We have a customer support line.
The the fact that the guild has now has a customer support line.
Yeah. And you get a free pen.
Hey,
as we pull a dead guy out of the hole.
I hope it's
in
a good pen.
I bet it is.
I would be really disappointed in the guild if it was like one of those really shitty Bic pens.
Yeah.
Like the really shitty ones.
And as they're leaving, Pirate Captain has some really bad news about Venture Stock. Because a video that I'm sure has been uploaded by Pete. I think that's pretty implied heavily.
Yeah.
That's not outright stated that he did it, but he absolutely did it.
He absolutely did it.
Of, it's sort of a combo of the David Hasselhoff drunk eating a burger on the floor and David after Dennis, that old YouTube video of that kid who was coming down from laughing gas. Like the direct quotes from that video.
Yeah.
Mixed with the burger.
It's really poetic.
It's charming. It's charming.
It has a lot of cultural value within the media of the time.
And even that, this is a few years after those released.
Yeah.
But it's the people who are watching it.
The people who watched it as teenagers.
Recognize.
What? Oh, hey, I get that.
Remember when that happened?
I understand that reference.
Yeah. Which he gets the full... He's hungover from the god gas, and he gets the full, just like, they are taking the piss out of him for it. Poor Billy.
Billy is not having a good time.
No. No.
Billy is having the opposite of a good time.
Yeah, and it's become so popular that they can't take it down.
I mean, now it's been downloaded. It's probably been re-uploaded. It's everywhere.
I'm sure there are remixes.
I want to see that. I want to see Billy after God gas mixed with, oh no, our table, it's broken.
Yeah, something like that.
I want to see it. Somebody make my dreams come true, please. I am not skilled.
And it ends with a nice Nazi coming to visit Billy, which is Dr. Mrs., to get some more concrete answers as to what happened, because she'd been told to ask Billy. Doc wasn't even in the building when the guy died. Neither was Brock. In the Morpho Cave, Henchman 21 and the Monarch are, they're looking at their options. They have a web of the people who are underneath Wide Whale to arch Dr. Venture. And they need to figure out who their next hit is, because Harangutan
would have been he was the next
they
one.
Got him. They got him.
Good.
So now they need to figure out who to go next, but they can't until the Morphomobile is out of the impound.
So that's the horrors of city bureaucracy.
Of city life.
Yeah. Arch the city bureaucracy.
Get the Morphomobile out of the impound. Take the Metro in the Morpho costumes.
I mean, to be fair, you take off the hat. It's a great suit.
The mask?
It's New York.
It's Newark.
It's
they're in Newark. They have to go all the way from Newark to
get
it from the Manhattan impound.
Yeah, it's still gonna be weird.
Yeah.
Any kind of metro train is always a little wonky. Looking at you, SEPTA.
Meanwhile, the council meets together, and this is the first time that the Blue Morpho is brought to their attentions.
Since Billy has
said it was the blue, it was the Blue Morpho and Kano from the old Rusty Venture cartoon.
She's like, sure, honey. Yeah. But yeah. Also, that's a little creepy.
And they don't know for sure because they can't get Venture's surveillance tapes. Except, you know, Widewell can. He has that place tapped. But this is sort of the first time that the Morpho has brought up as an issue they're going to have to deal with. The council has, like, they at this point consider the Blue Morpho as someone who is dead and who someone claimed the bounty on him. It's done.
Which, technically, yes.
It's not wrong. Technically, it's not wrong.
Technically, it's not wrong.
The original Blue Morpho is dead. The original Blue Morpho is dead.
Yes.
This is something they're going to have to deal with.
Of course.
And
Whitewell also says this in front of the unsuspecting waiter.
Hank, who is in disguise with a mustache.
I mean, he looks great with a mustache.
He really does. He really goes for mustaches.
When he pulls it off well.
Like, because, I mean, we have Enrico Matassa, who also wore a mustache, and they had a Rusin Gajevich.
Mustache
and goatee.
Yep.
The next step in dealing with the death of a guild member is talking to the widow.
Yeah. Enter, that is never going to be easy.
No. Enter Battleaxe.
I love her.
Who is completely distraught by her husband's death. Runs a bar, a pub, ye olde Battleaxe, and is now going to need some assistance getting Harangutang's vehicle, the Harangutank.
Boys. Why do you do this to me?
The Harangutank.
Why? Why have you done this to me? Personally.
They've personally attacked you with the names that go around.
Guys.
It's so good, though. It's so good. It's so good.
It's so bad, it circles right back around to good.
And Dr. Mrs. the Monarch agrees to help.
I love that Battleaxe is so distraught over her husband's
death.
That's a real touching thing that we haven't really seen from a lot of guild members.
Aside, actual caring for this, like, aside from the monarchs.
A lot of, you know, spouses have been really weird.
Yeah, and we see some more sort of realistic reactions and relationships, I think.
Yeah.
And I think that started sort of with the monarchs in like season 3 or so. Like the end of season 2, season 3.
Yeah.
We started to see these, you know, real depictions of some true emotion.
But it's a nice kind of refreshing thing amongst the rest of the villains
who can appear to be cold
or times, not even cold, just really weird.
Well, I mean
cold, harsh, kind of weird, like the relationship dynamic doesn't quite make sense.
And I think that also touches on how that's an issue in, I think, all superhero lore.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Like, I mean, you get
the weird dynamics are always a little wonky. Maybe not always bad, but like kind of wonky.
Yeah, I'm particularly side-eyeing DC right now.
Save!
Get your shit together, DC Comics. But yeah, it's nice to see Battle Axe
truly grieving.
Truly grieving her husband's death in a way that I guess makes sense to her, which is...
It's a logical step.
Rampage.
Know. Valid.
Valid.
But based on what their dynamic can be assumed to be.
Yes.
You know, yeah, that makes sense. And given her, you know, the personality that we see, her being like, okay, time for murder. Totally valid.
Time to avenge. So in between seeing Dean's class and all of this stuff, somewhere in there, there's a deleted scene. It didn't get past storyboards, but it was recorded. That I feel I need to bring it up simply because it establishes the very thin idea that Jared and Dean are a couple.
I could see it.
Dean goes to visit Sergeant Hatred in the hospital because, as you recall, he got fucked up.
He got another, yeah, go haunt nobody.
And Dean went to visit him and bring flowers, and he went with Brown Widow. Jared.
Also known as Jared, yes.
And he introduces him, not sort of like implying that they're gay, like in a way that a Dean Venture would talk, like, you know, he's a, you know, very good friend, my special friend. Not sort of meaning it, not in we're a couple sort of way, but it comes out that way.
Yeah, I can see where that would go.
Sergeant Hatred gives his full support to Dean,
which I love.
Just like, you know, totally open, totally happy for him. And I think that was a direction they were trying to go at one point. I believe they mentioned it in the book that they were going to try to get Jared and Dean together. We don't really see it come to fruition at this point.
But it was in their hearts.
It was in their hearts. And they made this scene. And the scene is pretty goddamn adorable. It's Rilo, fully voice recorded.
Rilo, are you saying he went to Jared's?
Shut up. Shut up. That's awful.
Yeah.
Anyway.
For those of you who do not know what that is, because I don't know if that extends beyond the United States, Jared's is a popular jewelry chain store.
That sells engagement rings, and they have a whole ad campaign.
Very, very annoying ad campaign.
Where the woman says, he went to Jared.
So.
To say, I'm engaged.
So, yeah. Sorry, had to explain the joke, because I do not know how far that commercial extends.
Yeah, I don't know how far that goes outside of U.S. territories either.
If you are outside of the U.S. territories, and you know what a Jared is, please inform us. I'm curious.
Yeah, I'm curious to see if it goes farther.
I'm genuinely curious about that.
At Stuyvesant University, Dean is in his philosophy class with Professor Nadaba, who has a massive head, and is secretly the supervillain think tank, who has just earned the rights to Arch Venture after Harangutang's death. So I guess he's next on their list.
But he also seems to genuinely care for Dean.
Care about
as
Dean.
A student. And,
yeah, and like, you're a smart kid. But so maybe, you know, stay away from your house between these hours, though.
Go stay away from home and go study, yes. Away from distraction. Away
because,
from your annoying brother and your stupid father.
Because, yeah, he does point out that Dean has a lot going on. He picks up on the rubble that makes sense that, you know, a whale-shaped hole was left in the lobby.
Things aren't going too hot at home.
There's flour residue on his cuff and the scent of antiseptic. So he's clearly been to a hospital, probably to visit a loved one. So he feels like he genuinely does care.
About Dean specifically.
It's about Dean.
Because I mean, you know, as someone who went through some rough crap in college, yeah, I did have professors who were like, who were genuinely trying to make sure that I would be able to come to class.
Yeah.
Regardless. And I do think that that is a certain type of relationship that we haven't gotten to see. Number one, neither of the boys have been in college. But
until now, yeah.
But now we have this other type of watch, you know, watchful relationship over Dean.
And I that, think and that, you also have Brown Widow, because he's never really, Dean, Hank had Dermot.
Yeah, Dean didn't Dean really have anyone.
He had Triana, which that wasn't really a thing. But he's never really had a friend outside of the family unit.
Yeah. So I do think that this would definitely be, you know, some kind of weird inner war for Professor Nadava, because I mean, he's got the student who he, you know, probably is like, I really like this. This kid has some great ideas.
He has potential, although his papers are terrible.
I mean, just because he can't write doesn't mean he's not smart.
Yeah. Back at the ye olde battle axe, they've located the orangutan. It is also in the inbound. Due to it having many unpaid parking tickets. And Dr. Mrs. has offered to go retrieve it. And she also, she checks her emails, and I meant to write down what her emails were. Because they're pretty good. Like,
we can appreciate.
Like, I think one is the Monarch, need more toilet paper. Pick up some toilet paper. Phantom Limb sending a recipe.
It's the kind of like weird coworker emails or like family emails that you get.
I think there's like a spam email in there too. Oh, yeah. Like, it's the weird, like, you know, oh, we were talking about this recipe, here it is, sort of emails that come with a friendly relationship.
Yeah. Or like asking, hey, you know, that was really good. Can you send me that? Yeah.
The Monarch and Henchman 21 go and tranquilize the guard to go search for the Morphomobile. That poor guard, he really gets it handed to him.
He's not doing well.
He's not having a fun time at work. And the Tranks are not great because they're from like the 70s.
That guy's, he's dead.
Meanwhile, Brock is on his J-pad watching Warriana in her civilian identity, Alexis Warrington, who is a news reporter, interviewing Pirate Captain. And without him knowing, Think Tank has also arrived, and we just see him driving up the side of Ventec Tower in his think tank.
What's with all the villains in tanks?
I also like how he analyzed Brock. He analyzed the degree of danger that Brock posed.
I mean, to be fair, if you saw Brock walking down the street, if this was a Dark Souls game, he would be like four skulls.
Yeah. Yeah. And he busts in on Dr. Venture in the penthouse, who is scolding Billy over the phone about how the gas backfired and yeah. How that better have been a good burger. It cost $20 million.
It was probably a really good burger, though.
Well, I mean, if you're that stoned, if you're that high,
anything's good, but like
anything's super good.
But like, you know when you have like a really good burger? It's an enjoyable experience. What can I say?
Back at the impound lot, the Monarch and 21 are still searching for the Morphomobile, and the guard awakens to just be knocked back out again by Battleaxe, who has shown up to get the Horiga tank.
That poor guard. That poor guard.
We get the Battle of the Century too. Think Tank, who, by the way, shows up to play chess.
I mean, it tracks.
Dr. Venture, who is more of a Parcheesi man.
I think that's actually a very interesting callback to a common myth where the man dies and makes a bargain with death and wins a game of chess. This was also parodied in Billy and Mandy, where they do Limbo.
And also it was done in South Park, where they played Yahtzee. Yes. Within the Facebook. And they also do it in The Sims. You can play chess against death for your life.
So this is a really common kind of repeated myth. And I like kind of a trope now, honestly. And I like the idea that it is playing chess for his life. But he's like, nope, I want to play Parcheesi.
I'm more of a Parcheesi man. I don't know how to play chess.
And but also that chess is this, like, you know, tactical thinking game.
And Doc can't play it.
Doc can't play at all. So, I mean, it makes sense that Think Tank being smart individual.
You're a smart man. And you're a smart man as well. So, nope.
You are Dr. Venture. You must be able to at least play. You at least understand the concept of chess.
Nope. We get Think Tank's battle with Brock too, which is like, it's one of logic, and Brock's just like, I can dodge it. Gets blasted out the window.
He can dodge it. The ego of that man knows no bounds.
Yeah. He needs to be, he's humbled. Humbled. And Doc doesn't give a shit because he's calling Guild to complain because he's calling Guild customer service.
A terrible, terrible idea.
And getting Watch and Ward.
They're the only employees there.
They are. I like, he goes by Debbie.
Hi, this is Debbie.
They're the only employees there. The Hold music.
God, the Hold
music. Did you know you could play your Guild dues online?
That was so inherently triggering.
Like, because we've all been in that situation.
Yeah. Whether it be your insurance, your bank, the post office.
Yeah. Also at this time, Brock is caught by Warriana, who apologizes.
Which I'm... Well done. Well done.
And they make up.
It's so cute.
And then when Brock tells her that he's dealing with Think Tank... She says, no way that Think Tank is messing with her man.
I love that she, I love this power dynamic.
It's really, really good to me. I love it. I love it.
I love that she is not afraid to be like, oh, I'm gonna go kick some ass.
Oh, hell no.
Give me my hairband. Hold my earrings.
Yeah. Like, which I guess, you know, when you're fighting someone who works with that logic, it needs to be a team.
Yeah. But I also love that it's an ass kicking team.
They're just going to kick his ass.
there is no strategy here. It is pure beatdown, oozing from both of them.
Dr. Mrs. the Monarch and Battleaxe have located the Horiga tank, but Dr. Mrs. the Monarch also sees the blue Morpho
skulking around.
And she can't identify him as her husband, thank God.
It's too dark. He's a little far away. He's in disguise.
And we find out the Morphomobile flies.
What doesn't fly in this universe?
It's, yeah. Like, it's a hell of an escape that they make.
Oh, yeah, it's beautiful.
And also, Battle Axe is on her way to destroy Dr. Venture.
After getting wasted, mind you.
Yeah, because she thinks that Dr. Venture is the Blue Morpho. It looks suspicious seeing Brock and Doc rush out, and then the Blue Morpho and Kano rush in.
Oh, no, 100%.
So she's like, she's taking the Battle Axe. She's going. Dr. Mrs. the Monarch is just, all she can do is chase after him.
And gotta catch that Blue Morpho.
Gotta catch that Blue Morpho. Brock and Moriana defeat Think Tank and have decided to become a couple. And
I ship it.
They head back to her apartment to make it official, but no butt stuff, except for the truth lasso makes him say that he did like it. And the Monarch, in true Monarch fashion, shits
in Venture's pool.
Takes a shit in Venture's pool. Just drive by shitting.
Drive by out the door.
Shitting.
That would be dive bomb.
Meanwhile, the Guild's limo has located the Morphomobile flying over the Ventures.
So that.
And nearly crashes into Hank and Dean and the Haranga tank. And the Haranga tank, I want to say that's Columbus Circle that he's flying off of. And straight into Think Tank, who's just trying to get a cab. And Dr. Mrs. the Monarch sees Dr. Venture looking over his balcony at all of the preceding events.
Well, what they see is they see the Morphomobile go over and disappear.
And then
Venture.
Dr. Venture lean over. So she has come to the conclusion that Billy did.
But what we know as an audience has happened is that Monarch went, I'm gonna go shit in his pool. In his pool.
Her husband
flies away.
Her husband pulled on the old Monarch charm.
Shat in Venture's pool.
And flew away back to Newark.
However, unintentionally implicating Venture. Which is like a subtle arch in a way.
Yeah, it's really good. It's really, really good to me. I love this. And our post-credits scene is kind of sweet.
I thought
the Monarchs make up. They make up. They have a little cuddle. She tells him that the vestibule looks beautiful and that he's done a really good job.
Because up until this point, it's been kind of shit.
Yeah. And he says that he's not the enemy. She knows who her enemy is.
Bum, bum, bum!
That's the end of the episode.
I love this episode.
It's a really good one. I say this about every season, but I really, really do what they did with these last two seasons. They threw their lore out the window. And they've built up something really, really, really nice and solid and amazing. So, yeah, that was Tanks for Nothing. You had a good time. I had a good time.
It's just such a ride. This whole episode.
Top to bottom.
It grabs you by the nose and pulls you through it without stopping.
Yeah, just the immediate aftermath. Like, we never really truly see the aftermath of any of the shit that goes down.
Yeah, and so I really liked that aspect.
Like, it's always just sort of reset the next week.
Everything goes back to normal, a la your classic episodic boy adventure film or show. Mm-hmm. And this is a really nice full through line.
Yeah. Next time on our next proper Guild episode, we'll be looking at it happening one night. And I'll no doubt rant about how much I hate Andy Warhol. Like I've already just decided that I'm just gonna let that happen because it's what's gonna inevitably happen. This is just gonna be me angry about Andy Warhol.
That's fair.
Because I have opinions. In the meantime, related to that episode, if you go to Guild of Charitas Intent on Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter, you can find they have a box coming out, a special box of goodies. It's all based around the Doom Factory and it happening one night. And they're all very, very beautifully made by fan artists. And all of the proceeds, for the Doom Factory box are going to go to Free Arts LA, which provides art programming for at-risk kids in LA. And they'll ship anywhere in the world except for the UK right now. So if you're in the UK, you're out of luck.
Sorry, guys, but your new tariff rules suck.
Yeah, but they've released some of the stuff that's in there. There's going to be a blue Morpho mask. You're going to get a pin that is the yellow and pink Hank pills, dolphin juice, see something, say something, slay something pamphlet, ninja throwing star, just lots of real good stuff.
Goodies galore.
And one lucky villain or minion will receive a gold watch in their Doom box so they can talk to God. So you got that to look forward to. And I think pre-orders are closing here soon for that. Please check it out. They're dropping on the 12th. So it'll be after you guys are listening to this. So they'll already be out. And you could probably order one. This was a shit show of an ending.
Absolutely. But you know what? It was a shit show of an episode in the best ways.
I hope you guys enjoy the Needs More Grenadine episodes that I haven't recorded yet at the time of us recording this, but one of them should already be out. Also check out Pageant Girl's new album. It's out November 12th. So it's already out by the time you're listening to this. Doc's made some really good music. It's awesome. Check out Pageant Girl's on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all that good stuff. And yeah.
And how we always do?
Yes. Go Team Venture. We love you guys.
Have a great night.